Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a liftoff.
The Drive is live.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Texans injury report. That's the biggest news on in the city right now, man. We've got some good news on the Texans front. A game that they must, they must as well, but they should win handily this weekend. And We've got some pretty good news here, man. You got the running back room appears to be trending in a direction where it's going to be full. The offensive line room appears to be trending in a direction where it's going to be full. Joe Mixon was limited at practice today, and Damian Pierce was a full go at practice today. Titus Howard, limited at practice today. Laremy Tunsil, full go at practice. Kenyon Green, limited. B. Scott, when I hear that, I don't know what the end game is going to be, but I feel really good about the pieces being in place for them to get this run game going.
Right? Yeah, man, absolutely. Like you mentioned, all of the offensive linemen, after not practicing the day before, are practicing now. Joe Mixon, the big headliner after the day before, the big headliner being Damian Pierce. Like I thought, I liked your line of thinking earlier of, hey, Damian Pierce, that was a big enough story if you were going to get him back. And what the strengths are of the existing offensive line, what Damian Pierce's strengths are, like those things should marry up and be an opportunity for not only the running game, but for Damian Pierce specifically to kind of get right. You know, we understand that this is kind of that type of year for him to kind of get right after a down year last year and then being unhealthy for the most part of this year. This being a hell of an opportunity for him. But then you add Joe Mixon into that as well and what that means for the team. No, man, this is setting up exactly to be an opportunity for them to figure things out in the run game 100%.
Now, the New England Patriots are going to be multiple on defense. They've got a really good defense. I think it's a top 10 defense in the league.
Yep.
That poses some problems. And multiple on defense, meaning they could come out in three down, they could come out in four down. They can play with split safeties like the trend in the league is, and everybody at least likes to talk about, is the two safeties on the roof. They can show you one safety on the roof. And they're very comfortable doing it. They pride themselves on being multiple across the board in the front and in the secondary. So you're going to get to see a lot. So when you talk about challenges for an offense, if you can run the football, it does not matter.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful thing and really the power of a run game. So often we get off in the weeds on four-minute offense this and imposing your will that. But really, if you can line up and run the football, you go, hey, you want to play three down? Cool. We'll run it. We'll hit punch it right in the mouth. You want to go four down? We'll run it right at you. Any way it goes, a good run game is good against any scheme whatsoever.
So one of the buzz terms over the last few weeks, particularly the last couple of weeks when they beat Jacksonville and then beat Buffalo, has been ugly wins or winning ugly. And D'Amico Ryans and the media have had some fun going back and forth about this, about, hey, there's no such thing as an ugly win, or you'd rather just get a win no matter how you can get it. This game really sets up to be an ugly type of game, but one that the Texans should be able to win.
Yeah.
Like, really on both sides, when you think about it, Clint, like, we talk about them needing to be able to stop the run because that's the one redeeming quality of this Patriots offense, like not allowing them to run the ball down your throat. You should be able to win the game because they don't really have a lot else going for them aside from that. And then on the other side of it, this discussion we're having now, they should be able to run the ball a lot better themselves with Joe Mixon, with Damian Pierce, and with hopefully, Clint, hopefully an understanding of what they are personnel-wise or what they are up front and what their strengths are and what type of plays they should be calling. Even though they've got Joe Mixon out there, that means they can probably expand their playbook a little bit. But you know what you're good at and what you're not, more importantly.
Well, you touched on a few things there. I think when you look at Joe Mixon, if Joe Mixon gets the 21 carries that Dare Ogunbowale – not carries, touches – that Dare Ogunbowale got last week, then your team is exponentially more explosive. There's no question about that. And then when you talk about – what kind? How do you want to attack in the run game? What does that look like? I think you've got options, obviously, with versatility in terms of Joe Mixon being able to do it all. And now you got Damian Pierce, who hits it downhill like nobody else in a Texans uniform.
Yeah.
So you've got a couple of guys back healthy in that running back room that are absolute difference makers. And I think the bigger story here is the offensive line. With Tytus Howard and Laremy Tunsil both being on the did not practice list yesterday, I mean, Blake Fisher's the only other tackle that you got rolling.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have to put a slide of guard out to tackle just to get through practice. You would hate for that to end up being something you got to do to get through a game.
And, Clint, let me say this, too, since you mentioned Blake Fisher. If the Texans, for some reason, lose that game against Buffalo, or, like, if we're talking this week coming off a loss, Blake Fisher, I think, is something that we talk about a little bit more. Like, the right tackle position in general is something that is highlighted a little bit more because it was one of the downsides for the Texans in that game. And getting Tytus Howard back, I think, you know, it obviously helps the quarterback but helps the offense overall. Just having somebody that's a little bit more experienced and stronger up front for this offense is going to be a big deal.
Yes, 100%. So those are the big offensive movements, if you will, on the injury report. I think defensively, Derek Barnett, a reserve defensive end, was limited. That will help. That depth is actually really, really, really important.
And he's made some plays for you.
Yes, he has. But the two things on the defensive side of the football, I think, that really stick out here is, one, Jimmy Ward, a veteran starting safety that's backed up by a rookie that while he's got a high ceiling, it's still a little bit of a gamble. Still a little bit of a wild card, if you will, in Kalen Bullock. But Jimmy Ward did not practice. It's a groin. Groins don't get better overnight. They're right. Big-time problems. So I would imagine Jimmy Ward is out. But the big one is Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter did not practice for the second day in a row. A rookie that doesn't practice on Wednesday, doesn't practice on Thursday, I think it's going to be a long shot for him to play on Sunday unless he miraculously comes back tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the tell-all, obviously. But Kamari Lassiter being out, I think, is probably really, to be honest with you, the biggest storyline on this injury report.
And since we follow it as closely as we do, Clint, we can point to the plays that Kamari Lassiter has given up this year. Like, he gave up a big play to his fellow rookie Keon Coleman.
Yep.
Out of Florida State. Gave up a big play to Keon Coleman against the Buffalo Bills this past week. And we saw a couple of weeks ago where his also fellow rookie, Brian Robinson, was able to get him on a double move. We've seen him give up plays before. But overall, Clint, Kamari Lassiter has been solid. He's been a good player for them overall. If we say for a few plays here and there that we're able to nitpick and also say, hey, you know what, that lack of speed showed up here or there maybe more than you would like for it to.
Yep.
Overall, the dude has played well. So you're losing not just a starter, but a starter that's played well for you in place of, guys who have experience, guys who have played, but also guys who were not able to outseat or outplay a second-round rookie who we had questions about, right? Like, if it was optimal to have some of these guys out there playing for you, a D'Angelo Ross, Kadar Holman, whoever it might be, then that would have been the case a long time ago. Like, to me, this is not an ideal situation, but again, you'd rather it be against a team that's fixated the way that the Patriots are.
All right, that's your Thursday Texans official injury report. It'll happen again tomorrow. We'll see what kind of movement we have on Fridays, but that's some pretty solid news, at least on the offensive side of the football today.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we talked yesterday a little bit about Aaron Rodgers and the Robert Saleh firing and the Aaron Rodgers audio from the Pat McAfee show.
When I came out of darkness.
The Jets aren't out of the news. The Jets announced today that they're going to demote Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive play caller, and Todd Downing is going to call offensive plays for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
Jeff Ulbrich is the interim head coach, and he's already making a little waves here. Clearly, he's not been happy with the play calling. I think Aaron Rodgers knew this was coming down the pike because he did all but announce that this was going to happen.
It's that simple.
And he was pretty forthcoming. He said, hell, I mean, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is insanity. Why, there's change is necessary. And then here's the change. I don't know what this means for the Jets. I don't know if they improve offensively or not. I would bet on Aaron Rodgers being significantly better than he was last week. I mean, unless you believe that he is just Father Time has jumped on his back and he just ain't got it no more. I would expect them to be better. I don't know that you can be much worse offensively. I don't know a lot about Todd Downing and whether he's a huge upgrade. I would hope so over Nathaniel Hackett. But we'll see what happens in New York. It's interesting to me because the Aaron Rodgers thing is, I think, is fascinating, is interesting overall. Just the way that people view Aaron Rodgers today is interesting. I think a lot of it's driven from off the field stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I do wonder how much of it has to do with true football stuff, because Aaron's always been hard to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike McCarthy couldn't deal with him. Hell, Matt LaFleur couldn't deal with him. He's always been egotistical and arrogant and a different dude. And so I do wonder, like, how much of the noise around it right now is truly about football and versus all the other criticism or
fresh
dislike
out of the pot of karma
that's out there for Aaron Rodgers.
See, I think the difference, though, Clint, is that in the past, you could make valid excuses for what was going on around Aaron Rodgers. Like,
sure,
the fact that they weren't investing enough in the weapons around him, right? Yeah. Even the Jordan Love pick, which has worked out for them in succeeding Aaron Rodgers, right? That turned out to be a good thing. But in the moment, Aaron Rodgers is looking around like, hey, you guys have, aside from Davante Adams, who you hit on, like, you guys have failed to surround me with the kind of talent that would produce the results that you would expect somebody as talented as Aaron Rodgers. Like, you would expect him to have more than just one Super Bowl,
sure,
for as excellent as he was in his time in Green Bay. So back then, it was easier to make the excuses for Aaron Rodgers. Now it feels like it's harder to do so because everything, it's the exact opposite now. Everything feels like it's been catered around Aaron Rodgers. And this, now it hasn't gone well, but I mean, look no further than the fact that Randall Cobb was on that team last year. Like, why would you do that? Why would you have Randall Cobb on the team, Nathaniel Hackett calling the plays? Like, all of this is to placate Aaron Rodgers and for it to not be working. And then now on the football field, that was another thing. He was able to cash in on the football field and actually give you MVP caliber play. Yeah. And so what can you say if you're annoyed by him? Yeah. But if he's going to go out there and stink up the joint and annoy the hell out of everybody, then everybody's going to just kind of wipe their hands of it. That's what I think is going on. It's like now the excuses are different because he's been built around in a way that he wasn't in Green Bay, and the play is not matching up what we have known it to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's clear that what the Jets are trying to do is what Tampa did with Tom Brady. I mean, what the Broncos did with Peyton Manning. Everybody thought he was done playing because of the neck. Everybody thought Tom was done because he was 40. What they're trying to do, we've seen this before.
Yeah.
It's just with a guy that is highly unlikable. But again, to me, it's and we're talking about a 5-game sample size in New York. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, obviously, with what we saw on the head coach being gone, odds are it's not going to pan out well. But I mean, we've got guys calling him coach killer. We've got guys that are calling him a liar when he goes on a show and basically lays it out there. Y'all go on a show, I'll answer all your questions and I'll tell you how I feel about it. And it's not enough. It's beyond just an egotistical, arrogant quarterback that's not played, that was built around and plays and hadn't played well.
Well, there's pile on. There's pile on here for sure.
And it's a story.
And you, I mean, obviously having played, you understand how the media cycle works. We'll build you up and we'll tear you down, right? And if we already got something that's built in, some built-in ammo, for lack of a better term, that we already want to pelt at you, don't go out there and throw a couple of picks in the first quarter. Don't go out there and look like you got your coach fired, because I already don't like you anyway.
Right.
And now you're giving me something to – you're adding fuel to the fire. You're fanning the flames. And so these are people that I agree with you probably already want to say something bad about Aaron Rodgers, but as of late, he is validating such things.
I wonder, where are you at with the Jets? Clearly right now it's a mess.
Yeah.
But just for – I do, and it's not because I picked him to win the Super Bowl. Clearly that ship has sailed. But I do look at it and go, I still think there's hope for them to have a decent season.
Am
I crazy?
This is hard for me to say, Clint, because before Tom Brady won his let's call it, last four Super Bowls. Okay, so before Tom Brady won his last four Super Bowls, I had Aaron Rodgers in that similar conversation. Now, the more Super Bowls Tom Brady won, the more the sillier.
And Aaron didn't get another one.
Exactly, the sillier that look. But I'm saying that to say you're talking to an Aaron Rodgers football wise, an Aaron Rodgers guy. So it pains me to say this, and I hate to say this, but I do feel like they're still a quarterback away. Like, they got all of these weapons. They're a quarterback and a competent offensive play caller away. Aaron Rodgers was supposed to be at least one of those things. Nathaniel Hackett, maybe with Aaron Rodgers, was supposed to be one of those things. So far, you've got neither of them, because one year Aaron Rodgers plays but three snaps. And then this year, five games into it, it doesn't look very good.
Yeah, well, you damn sure hadn't looked very good.
The sense of humor that the universe has. 5 o'clock
fire. Thursday night football, man. 49ers, Seahawks. Who you got?
Well, give me the 40. Hey, look, I love this division. Let me say that. I love the NL. I think that the NFC West, I almost said NL because I got baseball on my mind as well. But the NFC West, between all four of those teams, any of them play each other, I'm going to be down for it. But I got the 49ers in this one because I still think that they are the most talented team in the NFC. But this is going to be a damn good game. I would not be surprised if I'm wrong about this, because Seattle, damn good team, I think. And they get rowdy up there. It's going to be in Seattle.
Yep.
So they get rowdy up there. They love their Hawks, man. So I can't wait to watch this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle in this
one. I like it.
I think there's something wrong in San Francisco. This is the first time in watching San Francisco where I feel like there's legitimately something wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And obviously there's injuries. I'm not talking about that. I'm just like, it just – I don't see – right after I tell you, I think the Jets have a chance to pull this something out of the – rabbit out of the hat. I'm going to tell you that the 49ers don't.
That's a hell of a – I was going to say, man, they're so talented though, man.
Yeah, I just wonder, no McCaffrey, you know, you – some of the stuff that you're dealing with Brandon Ayuk, you wonder what's going to happen there. Is he one of those guys that gets paid and then just coast?
He was better, I think, the last game of the game before, though.
Well, I don't know. He definitely it was better, and I think he will be better. But just like right after coming back and signing the big deal, did you see the video of Shanahan having to tell him to get the right shorts on?
I did.
Stuff like that. That just you wonder if that's just one of them. Is he disgruntled because of how long it took? Has he always been that way? I don't know. I just the injuries, the Brock Purdy aspect of it. I don't know.
Seattle's got an interesting wide receiver situation too with DK Metcalf though, because like he's like the Laramie Tunsil of receivers. He's good for a boneheaded penalty every game. So like if I'm a Seattle fan, I'm talking about Metcalf in a similar way that the Texans fans are talking about Tunsil, because I'm like, hey, you got this big, huge guy that looks like he's supposed to, you know, dominate his position, but he's always kicking you in the foot, you know, one step forward, two steps back type of thing. So like I feel like they got a similar situation. But it should be a really, really good game because they play some good ball over there in that division. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe Tyler's got a couple of bets that we'll discuss here at the end of the show in the little best bets segment. We'll see what we can come up with there. All right, B. Scott, the injury report and the game film, those two things, when you butt them up together, there's some stars that are aligning for me. And that's changed a bit because that injury report, there's some good things that we just discussed that went on, but let me get you good and excited. Let's see. Let me explain something to you about the run game and about Damian Pierce and about what we've seen that should get you good and excited. Now, I don't know if it's going to come to fruition, but it should get you good and excited. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Holy smokes!
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, Ron Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. We are Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, 59-99. If you're in that neck of the woods, come on through, hang out with us. We will be giving away Texans-Colts tickets. Now, that game is three Sundays from now. You got a couple of – there you go. They got a couple of away games, and then they come home to play division opponent. Obviously, everybody knows who the Indianapolis Colts are. If you're in the building and you have not put your name in this raffle box right here in front of me, put your name in there. All we need is your name. You don't have to fill the whole thing out. Just put your name in there. And in the next break, I'm going to pull one name out, two tickets, two bracelets to the Bud Light tailgate party as well. So all you got to do is get parking. We got the party. We got the football game. Bud Light, big shout out to them for making it happen. Bud Light does it every week. The raffle box is directly in front of me. If you're out there and you're listening, a lot of traffic out there rolling through now. You can spare 20, 30 minutes, stop in Buffalo Wild Wings, get you a drink, get in this raffle, see if you can win some tickets. And if you can't get to this one, get down to your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings. Great lounge vibe going on with the lighting. Crazy TV setup, and the menu's great. The drinks are phenomenal. The cold beer in these tall mugs. What do they call these things?
Tall boys, huh? Oh, we're talking about the
tall boys are in a can.
Talking about the mug. Talking about the mug itself. When I think of tall beer, I think of tall boy.
I mean, I can relate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I can relate. I think that's called. Is that called a carafe?
Beer stein.
A beer stein?
No, Tyler, not that one. I'm looking at yours now. I thought you had something else.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I don't know if I'm saying it right.
We got bartenders in the building too.
I don't know if I'm saying it right. I don't know that they care. They just want to sell
a
bunch of
beer glass.
But nonetheless,
beer in a tall glass. Nonetheless,
come on through and hang out. Hey, so the Thursday injury report. We just got through discussing that. And obviously, we've watched the film after every game, sometimes multiple viewings of the film. And I'm just of the belief that this football team, if they are ever going to run the football, let's say from a production standpoint, the way they did week one. And I'm not talking about taking advantage of poor run defensive football teams and then we think all of a sudden we've done something. I'm talking about a true, legit run game that you can hang your hat on type stuff. I believe that the Texans are going to get there this year. I believe that it's going to happen on more downhill inside runs. I just, based off what I've seen week in, week out, I think that's the case. Both of the runs, back-to-back runs from Cam Akers last week were inside runs. One of them was kind of a split zone lead concept. I don't know what the hell they were doing. It's this new age football, they're all over the place. But it was a little bit of a cut back downhill. They were both between the tackles to some degree. We saw Dare hit one inside. That was nice as well. I just think they are built in a way with Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, and Shaq Mason to where those guys are better downhill moving mass than either stretching out wide toss zone concepts or, trying to soft shoe things. I think they're better off. They're better off strong arming folks instead of trying to finesse people. They're better off in the trenches than they are in space, trying to block smaller defenders. And so I just think with what they're doing, that is going to be the best approach moving forward, B. Scott, for the Texans.
I just think about any time I see one of these guys try to pull, or like Shaq Mason, God forbid, you try to pull and get him blocking out in space. And just how it looks.
But the thing is, there. Like, I like them pulling and leading up in the hole. I don't like them pulling.
But they're stretching out. They're stretching wide to pull. You know, like pulling out wide, and it's like, okay.
I don't like that either.
I get that you want, and the offensive linemen especially, they want to show you how athletic they are.
Sure.
They want to show you what they can do out in space. Hey, I'm an athlete too, baby. But you know what? No, you're not.
Right.
You know, like you, what you are is a road grader.
Sure.
What you are is, like you call it, a mover of men, a mover of mass.
Yeah.
And so be that. Stay true to that. And I'm curious from you, do you still want to see them, like, stretch it out wide but still just go for, how formation-wise do you want this to look?
It's interesting. I want them to spread out the formation. I don't want Dalton Schultz in a three-point stance. I don't want Dalton Schultz anywhere where his ass got to be physical. Get out there and finesse whoever you want. Spread them out.
They lost their fullback, though. Remember, that's why that happened. Well, they lost Bridges Brooks that game.
You are an NFL football team with a really good roster. You lose your fullback, you do not replace him with Dalton Schultz. I like Cade Stover. I like the rookie. Put his ass back there.
Yeah.
That was what he was doing in the first game of the season.
Yeah, in the preseason as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he was doing. So put him back there. At least he wants to get physical. At least he's trying to earn a contract. At least he's trying to stay on a damn football team, and he can't afford to be soft. Spread them out. Leave your receivers, these explosive weapons you got with Dalton Schultz, spread them out and let your big boys up front clearly see who they have and move mass. That's what I want them to do. That's what the film tells me the Texans are best at. Now, I'll be completely transparent. They haven't been great at anything.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing you can watch from a run game and go, yes, this is exactly what they need to be doing more of. But if I'm a gambling man, if I'm Bobby Sloak and I'm looking at it, I'm leaning going, guys, this is where we can probably run the football and at least be more effectively and run it effectively and be more complimentary at the least, right? But let me get there. With that, and now that we have the injury report out, and Dameon Pierce was not a limited participant today. Dameon Pierce was a full participant today. Dameon Pierce is going to play. I think his style, and it's crazy to think that this is where we're at, but I think his style and his downhill attack mode that he just instinctually plays the running back position with, mixed with those three interior guys being better moving mass, I think could push the thought through to Bobby Sloak that this is the best way to go about running the football. Now, Joe Mixon is also healthy. We'll see how the snaps play out. I don't know exactly what Dameon Pierce is going to get out of this, but I do think that Dameon Pierce's style and what the Texans have done best up front could potentially marry absolutely beautiful on Sunday. Now, here's C.J. Stroud talking about getting Dameon Pierce back and how important it is.
Yeah, man, it's really big. You know, I'm very happy for DP. He's worked really hard to come back. You know, it's not easy to be injured, and he's done a good job of just trusting the plan of the training staff. And, you know, he looks great at practice. And, you know, hopefully, you know, he has a great game, and I know he will. He's been working really hard. He's really motivated. So he's really big for us.
We'll see how much the Texans lean into, because since that audio, since we knew Dameon Pierce was coming back, Joe Mixon is back. So yep. We'll see exactly how it all unfolds. But, I firmly believe, again, regardless of who the running back is, that that's the way they need to attack the run game. And Joe Mixon can flat out do it all. So whether it's a 1-2 punch of Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce downhill is the operative term right in that sentence. Let's get downhill. Let's get north and south and see if we can't hit some seams.
Man, and think about how little of Dameon Pierce we've seen this year, Clint. Like, we just talk about how he played that one game. But he only had three carries in the one game. So, like, we've barely seen Dameon Pierce at all on this, call it a redemption tour, right? Like, he didn't have the season he wanted last year. So, we've barely seen him. But in those three carries, he's pretty good. And I think that those plays are in line with exactly what you're talking about, the point that you're making. So, it's the smallest of sample sizes that you could ask for. But the little bit that we've seen speak to exactly what you're saying here.
That's a great point. If you just look at what we've seen in those three carries in a vacuum, it's just flat out true, man.
That's what those plays were.
I'm not gonna create an offensive theory off of three carries. It's not just that. I think it's the O line as well. So we'll see how all of that unfolds. All right, B. Scott, we got to give away a couple of Texans Colts tickets here in this break, and we're gonna do that when we come back. We need to hit C.J. Stroud. Like, there's a real conversation about where exactly C.J. Stroud needs to live as a quarterback for the Texans to be a legit contender for a Super Bowl. He can be great anyway. We've proven that, right? So before everybody gets all up in a wad, now he can be great either way. But what C.J. Stroud do you want? What we've seen this year or more of what we saw in 2023? We'll do that next right here on Sports.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 16.
Strat House.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There it is. We've given away two $25 gift cards, and we just gave away a pair of Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts tickets. That's coming up, the next home game coming up. So big shout out to everybody out there for coming through and hanging out with us. All that talk about cornhole versus bago earlier, I totally forgot we have that. We are going to give that away. That's actually in the truck, so we're going to have to get that out of the truck and bring that in. And we'll get that given away as soon as we go off the air here. So if you're in the building and your name's in that raffle box, don't leave, because we've got one more one more giveaway.
Yeah, call it a bonus giveaway right there.
Yeah, well,
we forgot about that one.
That's right. I just Bud Light's providing so many things that we can give away. Hell, I'm forgetting about what all it is. So
there you go.
We greatly appreciate the fine folks over at Bud Light for making it happen. Greatly appreciate the folks here at Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, if you can't get to the one we're at, we're in New Caney, 5999 location. Get on up here, watch Thursday night football. There's football all weekend. If you're into all these teams that are still playing baseball, which I don't give a damn because I'm pissed off because the Astros aren't in it.
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge.
They got baseball if you want to come up here and watch that as well. Bottom line is, get down to your nearest Buffalo Wild Wings, hang out at the bar, hang out at one of these tabletops, get over there in one of them booths. Just make sure you take care of your waitresses and waiters and waitresses and enjoy your time. B. Scott is in for Ron Ugly today. B. Scott, appreciate you joining us, man. Always solid to have you.
Yes, sir.
C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, look, C.J.'s been tremendous regardless of what brand of football that the Texans are playing. But I do think there's a conversation to be had about C.J. Stroud and about what is the best version of C.J. Stroud as it pertains to this football team having a chance to win a Super Bowl, or the best chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? There's no doubt about it, and this is C.J. Stroud's own words. Last year, while he was having the best rookie season that I've ever personally witnessed a quarterback have, he was playing the quarterback position in such a beautiful way that it was as Tom Brady-like as I've seen, and I'm not just talking about rookies. I'm talking about quarterbacks in general. And we said that all year last year, and what happened, he ended up throwing the fewest interceptions. The team won 10 games and exceeded expectations, went to the second round of the playoffs. He led the league in yards per game. It was an unbelievable season on every single front, playing that boring brand of football, right? CJ calls it that. We all call it that. But ultimately, we watch Tom Brady do it and win more championships than anybody has ever won, right? And so that is one brand. And then we watch the Texans this year, and we listen to the Texans this year in training camp. We talk about wanting to be more aggressive, wanting to drive the football down the field, and wanting to be able to take more shots and threaten defenses. That was the messaging throughout training camp. And then if you watch training camp and the practices, they're constantly starting every series, every drill they did, man, they were throwing that sucker down the field. Whether it was Nico Collins or it was Tank Dell in the seam, they were aggressive with the football. There was clear, very clear, that there was an emphasis put on being more aggressive down the field with this offense. And we've watched C.J. Stroud. I'm not talking about the last game. I'm talking about just in doubt. Be more aggressive this year. Hold the football a little bit longer. Not make the quick right now boring stuff a priority the same way that he made it last year. And I think, B. Scott, the question is, and that there's not a right or wrong answer here, it's just what you prefer. But the question is, do you believe C.J. Stroud can take this team to a Super Bowl playing that more aggressive version of quarterback, or would you like for it to slide back to 2023 a little bit and play that more Tom Brady-ish type of football?
See, it's hard to argue with Tom Brady-ish type of football and hard to argue with the results that you got from C.J. Stroud last year. So if you're asking me, hey, do I want him to be as close to what he was last year, the answer is 100% yes. The issue that I have here is the idea that he's deviated that much from it, because I think this, Clint, he's always wrestled with both styles of play, like kind of the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type of, or the devil in your ear, the angel in your ear, like stretch it downfield, check it down. Like, yeah, C.J. Stroud, yeah, I felt like dealt with that even last year and was able to have this incredible balance of, you know, trying to make plays downfield but also being smart and taking what the defense gives him. I feel like for the most part, he has done that this year. The difference has been, I think this year, everything around CJ has failed him in a way that we were not anticipating it failing him the way we did maybe last year, right? Like, I would argue the pass protection at times, at least early in the season, was better last year, that the run game was a little bit better, even though you had kind of a lesser cast of characters in your run game.
Yeah.
And you certainly were not being penalized at the rate in which you're being penalized this year. Think about it, Clint. And I mentioned this earlier. They had that first half on Sunday where they didn't get penalized at all, and everybody was ready to barbecue. We were ready to throw a party about it because they weren't penalized for a whole half.
Yes!
And then sure enough, second half comes around, and all of these old bad habits that have been plaguing them throughout the whole season start to ring true again. So, like,
Every week, though.
The thing that I would challenge about this whole theory is, hey, if the things around C.J. Stroud are better or more consistent, the efficiency on first and second down, on the early downs, the offensive line play, the protection issues that they've had, running the football, simply just being able to run the football, if they can do some combination of those three things better, I think you will get a closer version to the C.J. Stroud that you're talking about. But what is it like when you feel like you're having to press for a penalized offense, a leaky offensive line, a running game that that you're struggling to get established? To me, C.J. Stroud being able to, like, understand what to take what the defense gives him, but also be able to make incredible throws, like some of those plays we saw him make in the third quarter to Stephon Diggs, to Dalton Schultz down the stretch in that game, like that is the specialty of a C.J. Stroud. So I don't want to dim his light at all. I want him to be special, but I want the things around him to lift him up so he can play the kind of football that you're talking about.
Yeah, look, I think it's – to be clear, it is a Bobby Slowick the messaging that's in the quarterback's – the messaging that's in the quarterback's ear on a consistent basis – That is part of the issue, right? I mean, that is it's not – it just comes through and comes to fruition through C.J. Stroud as we watch him play. But this is a Bobby Slowick scheme, philosophy, approach, what you're preaching into the quarterback every day.
Execution.
Like, how do you attack offensive football? And I'll be honest with you. You are correct. I mean, he has to a certain degree, has played – similarly at times to the way he did last year. I just know this, when you watch C.J. Stroud this year, there are multiple moments throughout a game, and it don't take but five or six of those throughout a game where he's passing up for show for some O. You know what I mean? And those are the times when it may not be a sack, but he takes a hit. It may not be a sack, but the offensive line struggles mightily and two guys get through. So it's just last year was an extreme, and it's an extreme that I actually appreciate and I like.
Yeah.
This year it's not so extreme as it was last year, and I'm just saying I believe that sliding more that direction could benefit the Texans.
I think as a coaching point, though, like, because you are correct. Like, I'm not going to dispute with you who played the position, and you're saying some things that just make sense to anybody who has sense. Like, hey, take what the defense gives you. Yeah. Don't force the issue, those sorts of things. So I'm not disputing that is the way to go, but I will say that's going to have to always be a coaching point with C.J. Stroud, somebody who has special ability, has seen himself perform in the moment and has done some special things. You're going to have to always pull him to the side and say, hey, C.J., you don't need that 15 yards. You just really need that 5 right there, because it's second and 8. We just need 5 or 6 right here. Like, let's play the down and distance game. You'll have to always do that with him to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think this. Look, there's two things that why this is important is one, like, if you're trying to stay ahead of the chains, now you can't help the runs for a 2-yard loss or the runs for a 1-yard gain. You're going to be in second and third and long there. You can't help that.
Yeah.
But the biggest problem with the Texans are penalties and the third down and longs, ultimately.
Being in third down and longs.
I could not believe the stat that you may have even brought to the table last week of they were the worst in the league in third and to go distance. It was 10-plus yards at one time.
Yes.
I don't think it is now, but at one point it was 10-plus yards.
But their first and second down, their early down efficiency is among the worst in football still to this day.
Well, so if you want to address that, and we're just talking about from a quarterback play, there's a lot more goes into it, but from quarterback play, then get the ball out of your hand. We're not trying to take shots. We're not trying to wait for the deeper route. We're not seeing if it's there. No, we'll get the ball out of our hand right now, and we'll live in second and four, second and five. We'll live with no sacks. We'll live with limiting how much our offensive line has to work and could potentially get a holding. We'll limit all that, and we'll take the good, which is staying ahead of the chains. That's number one. Number two, I think our conversation is very relevant this week because, again, you're going to see a multiple front that's really good up front.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some dudes up front in this defensive front, the New England Patriots. And so you're going to see some three down. You're going to see some four down. You're going to see pressure. You're going to see four-man rush. You're going to see a lot of different stuff from the New England Patriots. And if you want to give your offensive line, a young offensive line that, by the way, three of the starting five missed practice on Wednesday, if you want to give them a real chance to survive, then your quarterback plays a virgin of a virgin.
No, no. I was like, what?
I don't know. He claims he may be, but the version of quarterback where, let's say, it's 20% of the throws. It may be 5-6 throws. He gets the ball out right now, and the offensive line, it's irrelevant what they do.
Yeah.
You could have three of the five offensive linemen completely whiff. If I get the ball out right now, it doesn't matter. Right? He needs to mask some of the issues up front, along with several other things helping as well. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch how this thing unfolds moving forward.
Look, if your offense is able to establish a 2-touchdown lead in the first half, I need you to come out in the second half and Dalton Schultz not have a taunting penalty. Oh. That is the reason why you have you a field goal.
Are you doing this on purpose?
The reason why you get a field goal instead of a touchdown.
Are you doing this on purpose?
The next drive when you punt, I need Dario Gumbawale to not have a false start penalty that takes you back a couple of times. I need Shaq Mason to not have the holding penalty that takes you back. Like, it seems like C.J. Stroud was doing exactly that until the cast around him started to fail him. Do not fail C.J. Stroud.
Texans All Access is up next, 6 to 8 p.m. Gerard Johnson joins live. That's a quarterback coach, future head coach, future play caller. Thursday night football coverage at 7 p.m. That's next on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate everybody out there for coming by. Appreciate everybody for listening. Until tomorrow, we love you, Houston.
That weak ass hip drop tackle.
There are a lot of turds in the sports world now. If you eat, and I apologize, but there's a lot of turds in the sports world week in, week out. And who gets Tyler Milner's gold medal? Who gets it for you? Text in your turds. Tyler loves reading those and seeing how they match up to his turds. I don't know why Tyler likes to compare turds, but he does.
It's always been a hobby. I don't know.
Yeah, man. Who gets the gold medal for you, man? Tyler gives us his top turds.
It could catch a turd, catch toilet paper, and then I got a mess on my hands. And I know it's gonna be.
No one should give an F about Aaron Judge.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.